I feel like Josh Peck was just unloading all of his negative energy in the form of fat, and just like Drake Bell got drugged down by the output.
Just plastic surgery after plastic surgery led to controversy after I mean, if you would have held up a Drake and Bell, a Drake and Josh poster from that time period and said, which one of these will be in a Christopher Nolan movie one day, you would have said Drake Bell. Because Josh Peck will be dead from diabetes.
That's what we would have thought.
And
turns out,
lo and behold, the globe. Are we recording right now?
Oh, no.
howdy, everyone.
Welcome back to another episode of Texish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things coming back from a 2-week hiatus.
Tito's and Shiner. Gonna be an all nighter. Just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women. But man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Hey, we had a great break that was kind of on purpose.
It was like a needed vacation.
It was a needed, I mean, dude, we've gone 2 years.
That's amazing.
When you think about it. An episode a week, sometimes two.
Sometimes two.
Whether that was in the form of an interview episode or the recent, what do we call those? Texish Reacts. Forget 2 weeks off. I forgot everything that we do.
This episode's going to be insane.
To go buy some Straight Nelson 2024 t-shirts at the texaspod.com store. It's a great campaign that we're launching on behalf of the grandfathers of all things amazing Texas music. But before we get to anything else, it has been 2 weeks, possibly 3 weeks by the time this comes out.
Right.
We have a couple things to touch on, but before we do that, we got to shout out our non-sponsors.
Non-sponsors. They don't sponsor us. They give us zero money, zero clout, but it's our favorite part of the episode and yours.
It is our non-sponsor. Seth, who is our first non-sponsor that's giving us no money for today's episode?
Our first non-sponsor is Rambler.
Rambler.
It's different Topo Chico. It's Rambler. The flavors are actually better and the packaging is so much more efficient.
Rambler. Ramblin' drinks for ramblin' dudes. It's Rambler. It's the Lone Star of tickly water. It's Rambler.
You've got a backwards hat and khaki shorts, don't you? It's a Rambler.
Did you stop at a kitschy chic little tiny grocer type of place? Oh, then you must have got
a Rambler.
I love Rambler. It actually is.
It actually, like, it's better Topo Chico.
I don't know if it is.
Since Coca-Cola bought it, like, I think Rambler's better.
Well, is it the limestone filter thing? Because it's got such a good taste. And I love good the taste. Filter, like.
I love the tall boy packaging. Like, truly, I like that it is a tall boy.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason.
Because I'm
maybe
not.
Maybe it's the. Rambler.
Rambler.
Tall boys for short boys. It's Rambler.
Rambler. Rambler, hitting on our insecurities since 2006.
Rambler.
At least Robbie Ballinger's tall.
At least Robbie
Ballinger's tall. And also shouts out Robbie Ballinger. Loves the Upon version of the... I think it's Upon.
Because it's like, it's got the extra like kick to
the
it.
The things he likes.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Robbie likes that. I just love Robbie and know that he
Robbie's
loves
the
Rambler.
Best. Shout out Robbie for encountering a mountain lion.
I saw that.
Right?
I also laughed a lot when I swiped because I thought I was going to see a picture of a mountain lion and it was a feather. And then I thought, why did you not make the joke here that this is a mountain lion feather? A couple of people would have believed you.
A couple of people would have laughed really
hard
at that. I guess
he doesn't make his living making jokes on the internet.
Technically, no.
Well, I mean, we make fun. Speaking of which, do you want to hear about our other not sponsor?
Gunnar, who's our other not sponsor?
Our other not sponsor for today's episode is Lubbock.
Lubbock!
Do you want to go to New Mexico? Stop here.
Lubbock,
the southernmost point of North Dakota. It's
Lubbock.
It's where Ugg boots and polo hats go to die or retire.
Lubbock. It's a grid system, mother.
Lubbock. Raider rash, always dash.
Lubbock. The worst city in Texas since 2023.
Lubbock. Hate 06, baby. Hate 06. Have you caught on to the joke?
I've caught on to the joke.
Have you caught on to today's joke, though?
No, I haven't.
Because it takes a minute to notice it. So I posted today. Today is August 14th. So if you look at our threads, we're having fun on threads.
Having a lot of fun
it's
on threads,
It's kind of our
guys.
Supplement for not having clips the last few weeks.
And it's going really well. We get higher engagement for the threads than I thought we would.
A lot more on Instagram.
Well, and look, for everybody who's listening, Gunnar does the majority of the threads. And
you've inspired a few,
I've inspired a few of them.
But yeah, it's just right up my personality and my devilish desire to stir every pot imaginable. And today's is top five small town names, bottom five small town names. And if you know anything about Texas geography, number one, you know that Lubbock's in the panhandle, not West Texas, idiots. Number two, you notice that every small town in the bottom five surrounds Lubbock.
Yeah.
Like the literal.
Okay.
From Lubbock in every direction is listed in the bottom five.
So I wasn't sure if that was 100% on purpose.
100%.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to check.
Yeah, like I couldn't do Leveland because Simby or CB was in front of it. I was literally going, what is the next town over? I also didn't do Wolfirth because I kind of like Wolfirth, honestly, and that's where Evie Marie's barbecue is, and that's a great spot that we need to check out. I also, speaking into existence, out of breath.
We've been out for a while.
It's been a while. My cardio is down a little bit. I'll say this and we can jump to our normal segments because we just want to get to those for you guys. I had this idea last night. I'm saying it so I don't forget. We had the thing with Josh Abbott and his wife,
yes,
who are amazing people.
Really, really cool people.
They follow the podcast.
They
handled the jokes really well. We appreciate them. He's playing a show in Lubbock in September.
Yeah.
I think our first official Texas Goes episode
should be
in Lubbock.
Okay.
And we need to take Josh Abbott and his wife out to barbecue.
Absolutely.
And we will give them a legitimate chance to tell us why Lubbock is awesome.
Okay.
And we will only make three jokes.
Each? Yeah. Total.
Each.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we can't.
All right. That's our call right now.
It's a garbage city anyway.
Whatever has to happen to make that happen.
Yeah. It has just been so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
To watch people lose their minds.
Dog on
actually.
Lubbock.
Well, I mean, they either. The funnier part is seeing people finally catch on.
Yeah.
Because initially it was just people.
Oh, yeah. Initially, like, what's wrong with Lubbock? And now it's the like, wait, where's Lubbock on the list?
Yeah. People are like, wait, why is Lubbock not on here? Yeah. Or some people are just like, man, Lubbock does.
What, is this a Lubbock hate podcast?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, not really. But like, kind of. Like,
sort of.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit.
He's a yoke.
I've never heard anyone go to Lubbock and go, wow. Lubbock. All right. What happened once upon a time in Texas history?
Once upon a time. I want to make sure I get this right. This is one of my favorite once upon a times ever.
I mean, you've had 2 weeks to catch on to some really good ones.
Well, this one's really fun. And the timing of this is a little weird. But on April Fool's Day in 1971.
This actually happened.
Okay. A Texas lawmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to pass a bill honoring the Boston Strangler. Here's the thing about making laws. Your lawmakers don't pay attention. They don't have any idea what's going on. They basically just sign whatever gets put in front of them, as we've had demonstrated recently.
Unless they've been told by like Shell, Shell or Exxon, here's a lot of money, don't sign.
Well, even then, they're not reading it. And this was half joke, half point, right? Mm-hmm. So
even the lawmaker was joking.
Yeah, even the lawmaker was joking.
Oh, they were making a point.
They're making a point.
And a joke. They would have been good on this podcast.
I know. I would have loved to have them. We can probably find them. They'll be a little bit older.
Okay.
But so Republican Representative Tom Moore, a Waco Democrat, played this April Fool's prank where he ceremonially honors usually a constituent, but in this case, the Boston Strangler.
And for those that are history illiterate, kind of like people at the Houston School District are from Lubbock,
or me,
the Boston Strangler is different than the Boston Massacre.
They are very different.
Just had to.
One of them's a person, one of them's
of them was a thing.
So part of this is that they didn't call him the Boston Strangler in the actual document. Uh-huh. They used his name, Albert DeSalvo. So throughout this bill, this is a great bit already. Oh, it's such a great bit.
Because I love the joke of like, you hear the name, and if you know who that is, you're like, wait,
are you sure?
Yeah. But then people who don't know are like, cool.
Whatever. They're like, Albert Salvo is like probably a foreign dignitary.
Yeah.
I've got more important secretaries to bang. Yeah. Like, we're fine.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, we love immigrants. This is great.
Here's a quote from the document. The Honorable Albert DeSalvo has unselfishly served his country, his state, and his community.
Oh my God.
His sincerity, diligence, and cooperation has earned him the warm admiration and affection of his fellow practitioners. Here's one of my favorite lines.
This is also such a Texas honorary thing to do.
Above all, this compassionate gentleman's dedication and devotion to his work has enabled the weak and lonely throughout our nation to achieve and maintain a new degree of concern for their future. Now, therefore, be it. And it goes on.
Oh, my gosh. And is this to prove a point to the Texas legislature itself or to constituents both?
Both. So the way this is framed is that it was purely a joke.
Yeah.
And
it's an April Fool's
joke.
And it
was.
Yes.
Here's the thing. The law passed. Like, it passed. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing better than a joke
that works.
That goes within a system and follows a process.
So Moore states that it's simply an April Fool's joke and that it's totally fine. Nobody got mad.
Yeah.
But it did frame things so that people were like, hey, why aren't you paying attention?
Like, why did no one notice this?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. This is one of my favorite days in Texas history ever. April Fool's, 1971.
And Tom Moore should have a Tom Moore Day for pulling.
Oh, absolutely.
April 2nd should be Tom Moore Day.
Tom Moore Day. And I just, it's like, hey, he was trying to make a point about lawmakers routinely voting for measures without doing their homework. Mm-hmm. And
because that literally showed, like,
to be fair and clear, what happened is it was passed and then he immediately drops it and kills the bill.
You can't let that sit.
I just think it's funny that he killed the bill of the Boston Strangler. That's
well, I mean, it's
funny.
Better than it losing breath on the floor. So,
I like it.
Murder. Can you imagine how many white women
this law really got stifled.
Can you? Let's not strangle this joke too much.
Oh,
just can't get a grip. Murderers are wild. Do you ever think about that? Just in general? Like,
yeah.
Not in a conceptual way, but just...
Right.
Does it ever hit you, like, there are people out there that
you just, like, kill people?
Not just kill people, but do it in a way that it gives them a nickname?
I mean, I'm torn between, like, a weird level of, like, well, you were dedicated.
Fair. I mean, if you could funnel that passion somewhere.
But also, there's the reality of, like... Somebody was talking about how only a couple horoscopes like commit murder. And then there's always the one that's like,
I'm sure this person was brilliant by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then there's the one who's like, well, they've never caught this one, you know? Cause like,
oh, that scares. Yeah.
It doesn't that scare
me.
The
absolute crap out
it's
of
like,
me.
Well, they've never caught a Capricorn and you're like, well, fair.
Yikes. Plenty of people catch crabs though. Anyway.
Hey,
cause that's what
it's
is
a cancer
that?
Joke.
Cancer. There we
that's
go.
Me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. What am I? What?
You
don't answer that. What is our small town of the
okay,
week?
Okay, fair enough. I was thinking, I think you're a Sagittarius.
Well, I think I'm just Gunner. Anyway.
I date in Austin, so I know a lot about this.
Yeah, clearly.
So, are you ready for our small town of the week?
Where it? Been 2 weeks.
Where is it? Small town of the week.
2 weeks.
Nice.
Small town of the 2 weeks. Happy Texas.
Happy.
Happy Texas is a town in Randall and Swisher counties in the U.S. Texas.
I love Texas.
The population was 678 at the 2010 census, and the Randall County portion of Happy is part of the Amarillo, Texas Metropolitan Statistical Area.
That's in the panhandle.
So here's my favorite part of Happy, and it's how it actually got its name.
Mm-hmm.
So for people not from Texas or from the country, small bodies of water that are almost rivers but not quite are often called draws.
Yes.
Right?
Sometimes creeks.
Sometimes creeks.
Not creeks.
Cricks.
Cricks.
Not big enough to be a creek.
Yeah. So usually a draw.
So this one is called Happy Draw, named after the cowboys who discovered it and were so happy to have found it.
I mean, I'm sure, because there's nothing but death and desolation up there.
The town's motto is the town without a frown.
Aww. There's also a movie.
There's a movie called Happy Texas that was not filmed in Happy Texas.
Well, duh, there's nowhere to stay.
But there you go.
Was
that's
it
Happy
Billy
Texas.
Crystal in it? Or
yes.
What was it? Have you seen it?
I've not.
Yeah, I don't know why I've never watched it.
So I feel like I've watched most of the Texas movies, but there's still those that
there's
like
some floating around.
There's some floating around that I've never gotten
yeah,
around to.
Yeah, but even like, back to Threads, right. Even in the top five, bottom five movies about Texas or in Texas, no one threw Happy Texas out
Nobody
there.
Threw it in there.
Why isn't it in there?
But what about
what about this?
What about my favorite movie?
It's like, I'm sorry, Josh Twain Bro 89. Forgot.
Yeah. I did that classic thing where I stumbled into an argument and was serious.
Wait, when?
Yeah, in the comments of one of those.
Which
like,
one?
Okay, so dad grew up with Elmer Kelton.
Yeah.
Or Elmer Kelton's son, right?
Yes.
So we've like read a lot of the Elmer, not all of it, but like
but
we've
had it read to us. It's been around.
It's been around, right? And somebody was talking about, you know, West Texas and starting here because of...
Fort Worth being, like this, because everything passed
right,
here.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Well, there's a couple things in there, and one of them involves an Elmer Kelton, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he got into it about how we've never read Elmer Kelton, and I was just like, well, we have, though.
But we have.
But we have.
Yeah, do you ever hit that point
yeah,
where you
like,
always have to stop trolling?
Yeah,
go,
well, I did. I
well,
was,
by the way.
I was like, I have to stop right now because this is not... You win. You win. You win?
Sure, you win.
And it just is like...
I... do want to point out that if the whole thing was everything past Fort Worth, meaning westward, was the idea, Amarillo was still in the panhandle then, because you don't go past Fort Worth westward and just run into Amarillo. Just, again, geography just lesson 101. Want to hear about our badass of the week?
Badass of the week!
Would probably like that intro. His name is Austin Richard Post, otherwise known as Post Malone. Born on July 4th, 1995 in Syracuse, New York, July but he 4th. Reps Texas. He was wearing the Texas Rangers City Connect hat on the Joe Rogan Experience a couple days ago. I think he considers himself a Texan. I definitely want to loop him into Texas.
Syracuse I consider him a Texan.
Has enough already. Come on now. But he was born and raised by his father, Richard Post, and his stepmother, Jody. His father had been a DJ in his youth and introduced Malone to many different genres of music, including hip hop, country, and rock. When Malone was 9 years old, he and his family moved to Grapevine, Texas, Dallas area. After his father became manager of concessions for the Dallas Cowboys, food's better than the team, and Malone began to play the guitar and auditioned even for the American band Crown the Empire in 2010, but he was rejected after his guitar strings broke during the audition. He credited his initial interest in learning guitar to the video game Guitar Hero. So that's a bit of the stuff, but one, I'm surprised he made it 2 years and haven't shouted out Post Malone, because he is one of the most prolific musicians, artists, in the world, not just right now, but has been, just has had staying power since Stoney and White Iverson came out. And I think his story is pretty interesting because he went to college, to community college for about a month, basically never went to class, was failing. He had a friend that was sort of an early YouTube streamer type of guy that was going to go to LA. And he said, can I tag along? Can I bum off the couch? At some point in life, I'll pay you back if you just get, if you get me out there. And I saw an interview where we talked about, you know, I would lift up the couch cushions looking for quarters to go to the gas station to buy beer and cigarettes. And he was like literally living in a closet, playing with music stuff. And all of a sudden this SoundCloud song comes out called White Iverson. Overnight blows up. Like Billie Eilish with Ocean Eyes. It was a couple of months of growth, very slow growth. It was literally like, I think Eminem within 12 hours of White Iverson dropping tagged Post Malone. Like this is really good. And he just blows up from there. And I probably don't jive with his antics too much. And his,
well, his, you don't like Magic the Gathering?
Not so much. Not so much of a Juggalo guy, I guess, but the dude clearly is good at music, and I think that's what I really like about him, is when he started, I think it would have been easy to think, well, here's another
SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah. You can find old videos of him playing Buddy Holly and like old country songs, and then you, as recently as 2020, there was that Matthew McConaughey COVID benefit where he played a Sturgill Simpson song and an old like Tim McGraw or Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire song. God, what is the song? It's not Tim McGraw.
Toby Keith?
Brad Paisley. Song. And he's better. Like, the dude can play country and music sing and entertain and knows a lot about music. Like, you can tell he's one of those guys that just loves music. So I just, what a badass has established himself, has done his own thing. I mean, there is not another person in entertainment like him.
There really is not
at all.
You know, I had a watermelon just the other day and it was delicious. So shouts out for creating
such a bad show. Did you think of that when I said Post Malone, or did it hit you in the moment?
Hit me in the moment.
It was, I mean, it's good. But what that was, no,
that's really bad.
That was a, it's actually, that was a gunner level whiff. And I love it. I'm here for it.
I just, in my head, I see like a meme that's like pre Malone, post Malone, watermelon. And it's like a watermelon with like doodles on it.
I would love it. I would love that whole suit, even just pre Malone, post Malone, Carl Malone.
Carl Malone.
Pre Malone, post Malone, Kevin Malone. Just completely keep going. That would be great.
Pre Malone, post Malone, Home Alone.
And of course, Pre Malone, Post Malone, Home Alone 2. Lost in New York.
Oh, man.
I hope other people. Is this only funny to us? Even if it is, we're keeping it in. I think that's hilarious. Two quick things about Post Malone. I keep putting my nose on the mic. Welcome back to Texas, everybody. We're back, baby.
Hotter than ever.
Hotter than ever. One, the dude went toe-to-toe, and he probably went, but early in his career, Charlamagne did not like him.
No.
And went after him.
And there's the way that, like, he played with Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
And there's the way he did not like Post Malone.
Yeah, he played with Lil Dicky, and I don't think he respects Machine Gun Kelly enough to even not like him. Sure, he just lets him do his thing. He did not like Post Malone. No. And maybe still doesn't. Charlamagne tends to...
Yeah, yeah.
Charlamagne? Charlamagne.
Charlamagne the God.
Charlamagne the God. That's a horse. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, man.
My man. Boom.
Boom.
Anyway, but like even as an 18, 19-year-old,
yeah,
I think he handled that as best as he could. Sure. You could tell that he was kind of hurt by,
yeah,
hey, I'm just making music.
Which is really funny to me because in those situations, the way you lose is if you're actually hurt.
Yeah.
But he respected Charlamagne and like wanted and all, validation.
And like maintained the respect even amidst just getting like
eviscerated
by Charlamagne.
Yeah.
And I give him props for that. Yeah. I mean, he just
Charlamagne's doing his job and being Charlamagne.
I don't fault him either. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Charlamagne not liking Post Malone at that time, even if he doesn't like Home Alone. I think he's great. I'm going to use that forever. The other thing I think is just funny is he's lost a lot of weight recently. One, it's sad that people were worried that he was... What are you laughing at right now?
It's just a picture of Post Malone in the Home Alone. Just...
Stupid barbell. I think his next song has to open with like,
how do we get in touch with you?
I'm sure there's a way. Anyway, after our podcast with Trey Lewis,
right?
Dick Down and Ding Dong. That's the next
song.
Oh man,
that's got to be the next one.
That's got to be it. Respond to us. Anyway, the other thing is he's lost a lot of weight recently. Mm. And one, what sucks is people thought he was sick or thought he was on drugs.
Right, right.
And he's just such a fun guy. Mm-hmm. You can just tell he's a fun hang.
Yeah.
And he comes out and says, I just quit drinking sodas.
Yeah.
Turns out they're bad
for you.
Turns
out. Go figure.
And I also think it's crazy that all you quit was sodas and you dropped probably 30 pounds. Just wait till you give up alcohol.
How much soda were you drinking?
Yeah, also.
You know what I mean?
How many gallons of Dr. Pepper?
Hey, Post. They make it in diet.
Yeah, like hey, Post. They make it in 12-ounce cans.
Right. Like, you gotta.
Because he is the generation of us where the pizza came with
And he's just like,
gallon
of
Pepsi. He just thought,
mine. That's one serving.
One a day.
Right.
Keep the doctor away. Y'all. But yeah, shout out Post Malone.
Shout out Post.
I think Morning right now is one of my biggest jams. Yeah. Just such a catchy tune.
Well, and he's one of those artists who you go, I don't know Post Malone. And then you play a couple songs. You're like, oh, I love Post Malone. I love all these songs.
The other thing I like about him, it's something that I personally respect about even Billie Eilish or even a Justin Bieber, is I think they are, Taylor Swift might be like this. Sure. I don't get it. Maybe yet. I'll say yet. I don't think I ever will, but I don't get it.
Sure.
But I think some of these artists are so good that people who don't like them at a certain point end up liking them.
Yeah.
Like, I think people will even say, I don't like Post Malone, and you play Sunflower.
It's the Nickelback effect.
Sunflower. Like, you end up enjoying the Nickelback effect, honestly. Like, you like Nickelback.
Play Photograph. Try not to sing along. I dare
you. Look at this photograph. Every time I do it, makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? What the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. They went off, fixed it up. Never knew we ever went without. Second floor is not sneaking out. Isn't that you remind me of who I really am?
Do you remember the Christian remix of that? I was trying to explain to somebody how we grew up once, and I was like, listen,
have you heard of the band Apologetics?
Most of the songs I know that were like popular top 40s hits are based on that record.
Yeah.
And our parents weren't like insane Christian
people.
They
really weren't.
It's just like, it was one of those phases I think we all went through where it's like, well, this is rock music, but it's like
we
healthy.
Picked it up at Marshall's or something.
Here, we're gonna play it.
Well, we listened to like Dixie Chicks, Randy Travis.
Yeah.
And Clint Black and this Apologetics album.
Which, like,
that was nothing but Christian remixes. So
I was trying to explain, I know Annie Get Your Gun as Granny Are You Okay?
Well, no, you're thinking of not Annie Get Your Gun. Oh, no, Annie Are You Okay?
Annie, you're okay. Yeah, yeah.
Granny, are you okay?
Are you okay? Are you okay, Granny? Yeah.
You've been struck by a smooth grandmama.
Yeah. And it's hard to explain to somebody that that was my intro to classic rock.
But it is. It really is.
And so some of these songs I've never heard except as the Christian version.
Exactly. And then the follow-up to that was Audio Adrenaline. Mighty good leader is on the way. And then Switchfoot.
Yes, and then Switchfoot.
And then our parents were like, what?
Right, they're like, we don't care anymore. We don't want to go to Midland to that concert.
We don't want to go to Rock the Desert anymore.
Nobody wants to.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Screw Rock the Desert.
Do you remember POD?
Of course I
like, what? What was that band?
I still listen to POD.
Do you really?
Dude, people in the hardcore scene like POD.
In my, like, that was
some,
like...
Some, not all. Don't, I feel do like, not want to get
I feel
come
like
at.
POD is the entry drug to hardcore.
Oh, I mean, in for a lot way. Of people, well, one, you can't wise. Understand what they're saying. So they're one of those bands that rocking out to them, like, you know, they're a Christian band, and then some people are like, oh, I don't want this. But by that time, they're listening to, like, Cro-Mags and other, like...
They've already transitioned.
Yeah, the more Plain Sight one was DC Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was kind of the...
Yeah.
They swung from POD into the Rage Against the Machine sound, but made it very, like, you know, Jesus Freak. Yeah. So, which is, I mean...
Hey.
Again, Nickelback effect. Play it. You're gonna sing along.
One more Apologetics shout-out.
Which one?
The slightly questionable Hey Jews. Do you remember that one?
I do not remember.
It's like, Hey Jews.
Oh my gosh, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Well, it's like... yeah, you know, it's something like that.
Let's just...
It was either that or... No. It was God was a Jew.
Yes!
They all were Baluch.
Yes.
So that's like... That's one of those where you're like, wait. I get it, but...
God was a Jew. They all were something. Yeah.
Wild. Anyway, so please
love the Jew.
Yeah. And you're just like, wait.
Point of personal privilege.
Hold on. Is this okay?
Was this okay at the time? It's definitely not now.
It doesn't, like, it's not.
That doesn't feel
the
right.
The message is love the Jews.
Well, the message is love everybody.
Right.
And I know people have their thing. It is love
but
everybody.
It is love everybody. But like that song, the message
is love the Jew.
And yet,
one more time.
So please love the Jews. Love the Jews.
That's not Hey Jude.
It is a Beatles song though.
Love me do.
Yeah,
let me do.
Cool. I'm glad that was our intro to the Beatles. Our introduction to the Beatles was the song
Love the Jews
by Apologetics. Apologetics. I just looked it up. T-I-X. Apologetics.
Right, because...
Yeah. So, also, we're quoting.
We are quoting.
They don't have money. They can't sue us for that. Not... Apologetics, not
they
do. They,
what do you mean?
So
they?
Do you want to do Texas Update? You're going first, man.
Amtrak has proposed a partnership with Texas to build a light-speed rail from Houston to Dallas. Said Governor Greg Abbott, as long as they have handicap spaces.
It's ADA approved. Famous singer and human Big Mac Lizzo has officially been dropped from consideration to perform at this year's Super Bowl. Said Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, perfect. Now she can play left guard for us.
Underperforming schools in Houston are being forced to turn libraries into study areas for disruptive students to watch lessons on laptops. Said every disruptive student ever, thanks. All I really wanted was distance from my classmates and a laptop. This totally makes up for my absentee father.
Deep comment. The Associated Press has officially crowned Texas as the king of barbecue. Said Texas to runner up the Carolina barbecue scene. Please don't call me king. Call me daddy.
Barrels of life-saving water have gone missing from a high-traffic migrant area on the Texas border, said Ted Cruz from his brand new swimming pool. No say.
An August cold front has finally hit central Texas, dropping temperatures into 99 and even 98 degrees, leaving Texans everywhere wondering, is it time to update our definition of cold front?
I mean, I'm wearing sweaters already.
It is so hot.
It's so hot.
It is so hot.
It is so hot.
It's so hot.
Listen, y'all. It's been over 100 degrees for over a month.
Can we give it a break? I mean, it has to be so hot for us to say a cold front has dropped it to 99 degrees.
Dropped it.
Dropped it. It went down to...
Listen,
Call me old-fashioned. Can we drop a nuclear bomb here and just send us into a nuclear winter?
Nuclear winter sounds really great.
It sounds so good.
Can we do nuclear winter? Oppenheimer did really well. Let's just take that one step forward.
Maybe Barbie's Wonderland will come up from that.
I know.
It'll rise from the ashes.
Listen, think about it like this. Women are always cold. You might as well do it.
They're like little chihuahuas. They're just like, not Lizzo, but most women are just...
Okay, sorry. On the Lizzo note.
Are we going there?
I don't know. We said Lizzo. We might as well.
All right. We said it.
I feel like it's a good transition to our next topic.
Yeah, it carries a lot of weight, so continue.
I'm just glad we live in a world where we have equality and women can sexually assault their workers as well.
Violently.
Apparently.
If that banana story is true...
And I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
That's impossible.
If she masturbates to food, I believe it. But the story is... Because I... Joking aside. It is one of those things where, yeah, some of this might be true, but a lot of it might not be. Like,
it sounds like a fabrication.
I actually...
A lot of this.
A lot of fabric. I thought you were going there.
I
said no jokes, and I'm listening to too much Tim Dillon.
It was so hard not to say a big fabrication.
A big fabrication.
Yeah.
Benefit of it, because from what I understand, right. You know, I do disagree with a lot of the ethos behind who Lizzo is and the messages that she peddles, but sure. She is clearly a talented musician.
Clearly.
Has built a brand, mm-hmm. owns a lot of businesses, is doing a lot for a community of people of that, you know, the bras with giant boobs. I sure. actually do get the practice. Like, that's not a, like,
right.
big-titted women. It's like, some...
No, like, it's...
Women
it
have,
can be a problem.
Like, pain in their... Like, yeah. That's great. So I am kind of like, how much of this is true? Because it could be.
Yeah.
How much of this is all of her dancers were just physically tired from dancing?
Sure.
And thought, well, let's just get money through a lawsuit. Because we live in a world where if we just say... We were abused, even by Lizzo.
People will believe us.
They will, you know. So, yeah. You know, jokes aside, I might err on the side of I don't think she probably did anything, and like she probably is like this sucks. Because
yeah, I genuinely feel for her. Like, yeah. that must be terrible.
It must be. Now Johnny Manziel,
smooth transition.
Thank you. Did do some things.
Johnny Manziel is one of the most interesting failures.
Yeah, I mean, I think failure is a good word to
use. I think he was the most successful college quarterback of all time.
Well, he never won a national championship. And that's not a dig.
That's just a fact. I think he was the most, but I don't
prolific
mean.
College.
Prolific. There you go. He was the most prolific college
quarterback.
Of all time.
Of all time.
So far.
Recent history for sure.
Sure.
Recent. Yes. And
he had the most fun
of
any human being.
Had more fun.
In 4 years.
Three. I think two, maybe. I don't know. He had so much fun. And those that mm-hmm. haven't watched it yet, Untold documentary about Johnny Manziel came out.
Check it out.
And it actually does a good job of painting a more rounded picture. Because as an Aggie, I was like, of course I'm going to watch this.
Right.
I came into it as a frustrated Aggie from look, I'm an adult now, kind of. I can tell that my university is a little backward from we tout these
values
and pretty much don't live in alignment with them. I mean, Enron, basically right. us, the thing going on right now with the professor that they're like literally getting rid of because she's teaching some truth and like they're literally writing letters to the attorney general to get rid like,
yeah,
wow.
Like, what?
So much intellectual hypocrisy from an institution that touts things like loyalty and integrity and leadership and blah, blah, blah. Like, just a freaking it's nuts. The links that they go to siphon and squeeze money out of everybody and basically have no legs to stand on when it comes to honor and integrity and things like that. Yeah. So it was interesting to see more the side of, like, while this was happening, as Johnny Manziel, an 18, 19-year-old kid, is living the Playboy lifestyle, and everyone knows it, anybody who could have had an impact on him or had the authority to say, I'm benching you because you're out of hand, I don't care how well you're playing, like, you are actually off the wall right now,
mm-hmm.
pretty much said, meh.
Yeah.
He's making it. Like,
he's making money.
New stadium, yeah. New jerseys, new deals, new students, new admissions, increased admissions. Everything that came with Johnny. Like, I, at the time, especially before I went to A&M, didn't have enough knowledge or
sure.
experience to realize. Because I just thought Johnny Manziel was cool. Like,
yeah.
This is fun. This is great. It's football. Back end of it, and that documentary highlights, like, Johnny Manziel single-handedly brought in millions on millions and millions of dollars and is still bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars for this university.
Yeah.
That, you know, gig him or whatever, but frankly needs to get its shit together.
Well, and like, he brought in all this money and saw how much of it?
None. Well, and that's what pushed him, because you tried to watch the documentary, right?
I did try to watch the documentary.
Why'd you turn it off?
Because I'm a Longhorn.
I thought you would get enjoyment from watching it, if that's the case.
No.
But since you didn't finish it,
right.
How do you think it ended? What do you think the story is here? Like, how do you end this documentary? You know, opens.
Right.
Johnny Manziel, partied, failed, bust. How does this end?
I mean, okay, again, I didn't watch the end of it.
Yeah, no,
so,
that's why
so I have no idea.
I know the end, I'll tell you, I just want to know how you think it ended.
My guess is Johnny Manziel being like, I lost everything and feel like I was unserved by, you know, an institution that should have helped me.
Not really. Okay. So how it actually, I mean, he kind of says that, but that was more in the middle part.
That was the best. I want to cut that for myself.
There you go.
We'll so cut that I for can yourself. Just like have the, not really.
Not really. So in the middle, they dive into, because going into his second year, starting at quarterback for A&M after an 11-2 season, finishing ranked number 4 in all the polls, blah, blah, Cotton Bowl victory, whenever.
Really brought A&M back to the forefront.
Brought A&M, not even back, to a prominence we have never had before. Like, legitimately. Football. In football. Like, have never had. We were always in UT's shadow.
Right.
If it wasn't UT's, it was OU's. If it wasn't OU's, it was Nebraska. And that's even if we were in someone's shadows.
Right.
Wrecking Crew, suck it. That was one defense. We didn't win a national championship with that either. So can we chill for a second? But
y'all are kind of the Cowboys of the college sports teams.
Oh, dude.
Have you ever thought about that?
I want to quit now.
Did I just kill the pod?
I think that thought's been there and I've ignored it, but man, I'm deflated. That sucks.
Tom Brady joke.
That sucks. Thank you. I'm glad you caught that.
I did. That's the only thing I catch.
I'll try to carry this along. So he realizes after his freshman year winning the Heisman how much money. I mean, he realizes how much money is coming in.
Yeah.
And he's also being pulled into rooms by the athletic department and the alumni association to sign autographs for money that he's not getting.
Legally, he's not allowed.
So him and his dork friend, Nate, decide, like, well, let's just, they get offered money to sign autographs and turn it into a business where they're just flying all over the place, getting paid thousands upon thousands of dollars in cash to sign autographs for 2 hours in a hotel room.
Sure.
And then they're partying like it's, you know, the 1980s. I think most teenagers would go that route if they don't really have morals or anything.
There's no morals, no ethics. No.
I know. I worked with people who I worked for a guy who was his left tackle in high school. The reality is Johnny has always been this guy.
Yeah.
In high school, he was hitting golf balls at houses when he was working at the golf course for 5 seconds because he was fired. He was not a good kid. That's just a reality. That's a fact. That's not a knock on his character. He was never a good person, really.
Right.
No matter how much his dad talks about disciplining him. Clearly, he didn't, or it just didn't work. Maybe there's people it just doesn't work.
Sure.
Anyway, middle, realizes money, goes off the wall. NFL career, goes up in flames. NFL try, goes up in flames. The documentary episode of Untold ends with them being like, well, he doesn't party as much anymore. That's basically the end.
Right.
The story ends with
he did not change.
He hasn't changed that much. His sister literally says, people ask me what he's doing, and I have to tell them he can't do anything right now.
Yeah.
He's mentally incapable / not in a good enough place to do anything.
Right.
He's just in Scottsdale, Arizona with what money? I don't know.
Sure.
I guess that autograph money or that NFL money lasts for a long time, but he's just in Scottsdale playing golf and partying.
Okay.
Which is another reason I'm like, why is A&M giving him medals and recognition? Like,
well, I'm going to ask a dumb question.
Yeah.
If that's the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd they call it Untold? Because that seems pretty much
pretty predictable. Well, I haven't seen an update on Johnny in a while. I thought it was going to end with, you know, that the black screen comes up. Johnny has been sober for 3 months.
Sure.
At bare minimum. Johnny has gotten help.
Time of writing this, it's like 6 a.m. Yeah. And he hasn't had a drink for like 30 minutes.
Like, Johnny is sunning his butthole and doing yoga every morning. He's not great, but he's been talking
to Aaron Alexander and...
good thing it's not Aaron Hernandez. sorry.
You know, he's got some good points.
But... like, yeah, it just ends with, yeah, he's not as bad. Well, so there's that. Yeah. The other thing that I personally have, everything about A&M I have a qualm with. And it's not, like, I am proud to have gone to A&M.
And you should be.
I had a great time. I met my wife. I really fell in love with Jesus. I had a great experience personally at A&M. But I think that's why I'm like, either live and work and operate according to the values that you cram down your students' throats as you make them pay $80 million to go here, or change your slogan to, we'll bend you over and F you. Like,
sure. Like every other
change your slogan to, we don't actually care. Change your slogan to, it's the bottom line. Deal with it.
Which I would be on board with.
I would be on board because they're telling the truth. They knocked down the student, do you know this? When I was at college, they knocked down, plowed, got rid of the student disability center that was next to Kyle Field to build a hotel and a parking garage.
Sure.
That is what stands in that place now.
Fair.
The student disability center was relegated to the other side of campus.
Okay.
Not accessible by any type of like wheelchair, anything like that, in mobile units.
That's so mean.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's probably changed. I'm sure they were building a building somewhere, but the fact that they took a place that was accessible for students with need of any kind and plowed it
to
put an alumni hotel and a parking garage for the people who can afford that across from their giant football field, which I'm sorry, unless you're Alabama, you don't get that stadium. Yeah. You don't.
You don't.
You don't get that stadium. Win 5 national championships and another Heisman, then we can talk about a new stadium. Sure. Straight up. Like, Dude Perfect should be getting medals, not Johnny Manziel. And I don't even like those guys. Like, we get it. You throw it in the hoop. Anyway.
That should be their new tagline. we throw it in the hoop.
I'm writing everyone's taglines today.
We throw it in the hoop.
Yeah. So the other thing I'll say about it, then we can let everybody go if you're still listening. I'm complaining.
We just lost all of our A&M listeners.
I guarantee you at least a few agree with me.
Okay.
The ones who don't...
To be clear.
The ones who don't agree with me right now are idiots. Straight up.
They did go to A&M.
Thank you. Giggum. If you do not see what I'm saying, because... Yeah. I know that I'm black and white. I know that what I'm saying is true. It's an objective fact. You can look at the way A&M operates and the decisions they make in the media with their students, and you can't deny it. And again, it'd be one thing if they didn't tout any values, any of this like pie in the sky, we help each other BS. And it's BS because they don't live it. Maybe for some people.
Sure.
Maybe for the highest of high donors.
Like individually.
Individually, sure. But as a university, as an entity, they do not align with their own values. And that does not sit well with me. Either change it or change your behavior. Straight up. Other thing I didn't like about the documentary was, you know, it shows his rise and then the draft day where he barely goes in the first round to the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, it's a train wreck from there. We already know that. Just, you know, we didn't know the extent. Apparently, there was one time where he flew to Vegas to party the day before a game and just didn't make it back for the game.
Right.
Just straight up didn't. That's how unhinged he was. But he's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was, well, it was a lot going from the Heisman year and the autograph things and then into, you know, the second year. And we don't perform that well. And then getting ready for the NFL draft and then getting drafted. Like, he sounds like a bitch. He really sounds like a bitch.
I mean, wasn't he? Like, wasn't that one of the, like,
I mean, looking back, I guess so. I guess I thought, personally, I thought because he played football.
Because that's how he, because of how he played.
Almost in a way, it was like, well, clearly you're Roger Staubach and Joe Namath. I think those are the right people.
Right. Is that his name?
I mean, even Wade Boggs, the baseball player, clearly you can party and handle your business. You can party and perform.
He could party and perform on a college level.
On a college level.
He was not ready to party and perform on a pro level.
Well, I mean, he was partying on a pro level, which I guess means you can't perform.
Play on
but just the way he walked it back, like, it was just a lot to deal with.
So there's no taking responsibility.
No taking responsibility. Zero.
So what you're saying is he aligns with the actual Aggie values.
I mean, honestly, this must be why he gets warts from A&M all the time, because he aligns perfectly. It's complete intellectual hypocrisy and refusal to take responsibility or ownership. Yeah, gig him. I'm really making it look good right now. Again, I loved A&M. Because I love it, I get to say it, you know? But yeah, I just thought that was a very, like, really? That... It was hard to do the thing you went to school for.
Yeah.
Boo hoo. Like,
you got to live the dream and flushed it.
Yeah. On
how disrespectful
on your
that?
Own. Well, I mean, it's funny because they show his dad, which he's probably mostly a good dude, but he plays when you hand your son off to a football program in a school, you know, you expect them to continue making them into a man. That's code for I failed and I know it.
Yeah.
And then you see Johnny do his thing, and that's code for I failed and I know it. And I say that because there's an entire roster, not just of other football players that have performed at a high level, dealt with newfound fame, and maybe even partied a little, and have done just fine.
Yeah.
So he's a bitch, and...
You heard it here first, folks.
I feel like it's that Chris Rock bit where he's like, and Charlamagne called him a bitch.
Well, I mean, you know what the title of the episode's going to be.
Please don't. If mom listens this far, sorry, mom. That's what I think.
I appreciate that.
I think it's a little pathetic.
What was your biggest takeaway from the documentary that was, like, what was your biggest good takeaway?
I don't have one, I don't think.
That's fair. Did anything surprise you?
I don't think anything surprised me. I think I was already on a tipping point with A&M not living in accordance with his values from an operational entity enterprise standpoint. Yeah. And this sent me over the edge.
Do you think it's possible that the documentary makers who ostensibly made a documentary about Johnny Manziel and Johnny football,
The documentary makers did a good job of rounding out the view there. Because the story was Johnny's irresponsible and a partner.
Right.
I understand in college why he did a lot of the things he did because of the way A&M was treating him, whether it was mistreatment or not, but just the way that they used him.
And so my question becomes, do you think the documentary makers realized what we could make is something showing the underbelly of the academic side of what this is?
Yes, and it's awesome that I went to the school where you can easily highlight that. I love that.
Hey, man.
But I am curious, was the goal to tell that story, or was the hope, we're going to get to tell the Johnny Manziel redemption story? And then they're like, man, he's doing bong hits. Does A&M suck? It does.
It does.
We got a story.
Guys.
Which, again, it is reflecting the suckness of most universities in the country.
And look,
that is true. So A&M's not alone.
The question is it doing a good enough job of highlighting these intellectual hypocrisies within these institutions that it will become a bigger conversation? Or do you think it will be limited to like, oh, Johnny fucked up?
I think somewhere in between there, because at the end of the day, it's awesome. The Untold series is great. Yeah. I'm a sports guy. You're not, so you might not enjoy it. Did you watch the Jake Paul one?
I have not watched that one yet.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah.
But that's tomorrow, so I have time.
There you go. I wish it could make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm becoming cynical and Nietzschean a little bit. I don't think anything makes a difference anymore in reality. But especially, like, it's a Netflix documentary. You know, it's starting conversations on podcasts. Sure. It's getting Johnny Manziel on the Pat McAfee show.
Right.
He's probably selling some merch. Good for him. He needs more money to party, I guess, since he's clearly not doing it for anything else. What? Oh, merch. We have merch too. Netflix. Yeah. Straight Nelson 2024. Make sure you go to texaspod.com to purchase them now. We have a couple of other shirts available. Go check those out too if you want. I personally love this one and the Vaugh Texas Vaugh shirt.
It's a
great one. Basketball season is around the corner as well as football, but we don't really have a football one. So make sure you get the Straight Nelson 2024 t-shirt. Like, subscribe, share, comment, engage, all the things. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all.